Hello and welcome to SearchCRM.com and SearchSalesforce.com. I'm Lauren Horwitz, Senior Executive Editor in the Business Applications and Architecture Group. And today I have the great pleasure of welcoming back one of our SearchCRM and SearchSalesforce contributors, Brent Leary, who's a partner at CRM Essentials. Brent, welcome.
Lauren, it's always a pleasure doing these with you.
It's always a pleasure for me as well. And this is kind of a special installment. We'll talk about that in a bit. But so this is a bit free form, but I thought who better, really, to talk about and prognosticate on some of the trends for the next 12 months in CRM than Mr. Brent Leary. So here we are. And I want to ask you to start out with, you know, based on we've been talking about these technologies for a good 2-3 years now, and it seems like there are certain technologies that have really gathered steam and that we might see really gather even further momentum in the coming 12 or so months. Tell me what you think is going to kind of define this space.
Yeah, I would think over the next year or so, it's going to be pretty much all about AI, machine learning, and deep learning. You just can't get away from it at this point. Companies are buying it. They're rolling it into their platforms. I mean, almost every day you get a little email notification and somebody bought something. And I don't think we're going to see the acquisitions of AI and deep learning, I don't think we're going to see that dry up. I think you're going to see more and more of it. I think it'll probably be even more niched out, looking for specialties that they can add to their AI platforms. So I just think it's going to be moving full steam ahead. And I also think that'll have a pretty positive impact on IoT offerings too, because I think the one thing that was maybe missing from the IoT was the ability to leverage all the data coming from that in a way that could quickly determine important insights and deliver those insights in a way that they could be used effectively. So I think where IoT kind of maybe hasn't moved as fast, I think it will move a little faster as AI, machine learning gets baked into the platforms and people begin to start understanding what they have and what they can do with it.
So you brought up a lot already, as I would have expected that you would. So first, I'm going to ask you, getting back to AI and machine learning, why do you think this is so important for sales and marketing? What does artificial intelligence bring to these disciplines that it kind of changes the game a bit?
Well, I think it's because the attention span of consumers is getting smaller and smaller, and you really don't have as much time to make your case as you used to maybe 4 or 5, 10 years ago. And also, you know, a lot of times consumers were kind of forced into believing that, you know, the company had all the information and had all the answers. And now with, you know, the internet and with the democratization of information, it's not the case anymore. So you have to be able to quickly make your case, quickly make the insights that you know, make it attractive to the folks that are looking for answers and solutions. And you just don't have a lot of time to do it. So you have to apply the machine learning, the deep learning, the artificial intelligence to find answers and make them accessible at the time, the most optimal time of impact. And so we weren't talking about that kind of stuff 5, 10 years ago, but you can't get away from this stuff now. And it just gets more and more critical. And if you want to, and it's almost like if you don't do this, if you don't connect with that customer at that optimal point in time on the website or on the mobile app, and you don't bring them on board, then how much are you missing out on? You may not be just missing out on that one transaction. you may end up be missing out on a full customer life cycle that would be available to you if you did connect with them at that right moment and brought them in and then built a relationship that's expanded over time. That's kind of the world we're living in now, where you've got to make the most of it. And if you don't have your the right dots in place and the right, T's and everything kind of aligned up, you're going to be missing out, and somebody who does have that all in place will be more than glad to take it from you.
And let me ask you this, because over the past, say, 5 to 10 years, content marketing, inbound marketing came to kind of redefine the whole sales funnel and really the sales effort. Do you see this as a continuation of what's happening in inbound marketing, kind of making, kind of targeting sales efforts, giving sales the intelligence on the right prospects to go after, giving marketing the right intelligence on the right prospects to cultivate and get further down the sales funnel? Or is it a continuation thus of some of those tactics, or is it a departure from them?
I think it's more of a continuation, and I think it's about these interactions that a customer has with a company is taking place in more places and with more people involved. And I mean, we just talked about IoT. I mean, we're talking about, potentially your lawnmower could be sending back information that could be critically important to the life of the relationship you have with this customer. So before, you might have somebody call on the customer and then you won't hear from them again until they need you. Well, now you may have this in this example, a lawnmower. The lawnmower is interacting, not only the product is interacting not only with the consumer, but it's interacting with the home office to try to help extend the relationship that the home office has with that customer. So you have a different dynamic. You have, it's much more complex kind of customer ecosystem involved here. And because of that, you need better collaboration and communication across the board. You do need marketing working more tightly with sales to be able to provide them with the kind of insights and information that will help them close a deal. You do need, service involved with marketing, because service folks find a lot of great information from interactions coming with customers, and that could be used to build better messaging from the marketing standpoint. And then they all could be taking everything that all these customer interactions and going to things like product development or developing new services that would be critical to the extension of the customer life cycle. So it's a lot more information. It's coming from different relationships, not just customer to sales or customer to marketing or service. It's the product to marketing. It's the product to service. It's the partnerships. It's the other pieces of the ecosystem, and they're all emitting information that could be really important. But it's not going to be used successfully if it isn't brought in, aggregated, analyzed, and then being able to provide that insight in such a way that creates a positive experience on the other end.
So you also talked about IoT and the increasing importance of kind of being able to analyze that data and make actionable decisions in real time, the importance of using certain attributes like location to help companies understand their product lines, their customers, customer behavior. What else is kind of key about IoT that could make it influential in the coming year?
One of the things I was thinking about is the impact that things like conversational user interfaces, things like what we're seeing with Amazon, with Echo, and with Siri, and with Google Home, they pose a new way for consumers to interact with technology. And I think having that as another piece of the puzzle enhances IoT as well. because it may be easier for Echo to communicate with, in such a way that allows the information that comes from IoT to be more consumable by the consumer. And so I think IoT has the opportunity, once things like the AI machine learning is in place, to really provide answers and insights, not just back to the producer, the manufacturer, but right to the consumer. And maybe using technology like these conversational interfaces that come from an Echo device or from something like the Google Home, or even, not just on the consumer side of the house, but on right back to B2B companies and folks who could actually call a consumer or call on a business based on, some information that's coming back out of these IoT cloud platforms. But there is you really kind of pressed to find where things could go because we're so early on and we have so many kind of moving pieces to the puzzle. But if we're able to fit them correctly, I think IoT and AI and these conversational user interfaces really stand the opportunity to be revolutionary in the way that they change the experiences that we're able to deliver.
So you also alluded to another trend that we've talked about in the past that seems like it may be an important one to watch over the next 12 months. And that's what you termed these conversational interfaces, the Amazon Alexas and Echoes and Siris and all these sort of voice activated interfaces and devices that customers can use to either order products or get information. How do you think that's going to take shape over the next 12 months? And is that going to kind of redefine not just customer experience, but just information gathering?
Yeah, I think this is one of the really exciting areas, and it's really because the Echo has only been around for about 2 years, and when it first came out, I was one of the first to jump on it, and I did a video like a kind of like an unboxing, just because A, I didn't exactly know what it was. It was a little cylinder speaker thing that connected to your internet, and you were able to ask questions. But it was such a different kind of device. But it caught on, and it caught on partly because Amazon opened up the API and invited developers in to create what they call skills, so you could tell it to do more and more things. And it wasn't just one company doing it. It was pretty much everybody who could access the API. And so what's happened is it's created kind of a phenomenon. I mean, it was the number one. I think it was the number one seller on Amazon during the holiday season, where the actual Echo device, I think they said they sold millions of Echoes. And then you have Google with their home device, and you have everybody with the phone. You have the Siri on the phone. You have the new Google Pixel phone that has Google Home on it. So you're seeing other companies develop. CRM companies are developing. I think Sugar has something they're calling Candice that's going to be a digital assistant aimed at business, sales. Adobe just announced one. So when you see the kind of adoption that started kind of like from ground zero with people not knowing exactly what this thing is, to really being front and center at CES. I heard the big winner at CES 2017 was Amazon. And so when you see that groundswell happen, it's not going any away anytime soon. And we're really just starting to see more and more use cases of how companies are leveraging these tools like Echo to talk directly to the consumer base. So I think it's really going to be interesting to see how this mushrooms. It's going to be real interesting to see how the enterprise adopts it and how they begin to leverage it to create offerings for more B2B kind of companies.
Now, let me ask you about this because this is something that I've been reading about recently. This whole notion of certain vendor offerings that might have seem kind of curtailed or circumscribed at the outset, like a Salesforce CRM, now becoming sort of broader based platforms for a whole variety of services and tasks. One article I read sort of referred to the Salesforce customer success platform as, you know, really an attempt to become a collaborative platform on the whole, similarly with Microsoft's Office 365 and some of the connectors into Dynamics and other key applications. What do you see as kind of the prospects for the collaborative platform as the future over the next, say, 12 months?
Yeah, it's you know, when you think about that, you got to think about what Microsoft is doing with not only Office 365, but what they could potentially do with their acquisition of LinkedIn. You know, and there's a lot of speculation about what they could potentially do. But when you have, you know, that kind of asset with all the information that's built into that and all the activity that takes place over that, and you can couple that with not only productivity tools and collaboration tools, like you mentioned Office 365 and there's SharePoint, but they also have, you know, the business applications and you being able to potentially leverage LinkedIn information into your CRM application. So Microsoft is, I think we're all still trying to figure out exactly what they're going to do with all these big things that they have, but the potential is there that they could really shape the direction of things to come when it comes to business and the way businesses collaborate with each other and with their customer base. Salesforce is, you know, they expanded out from CRM to customer success. They made $4.5 or thereabout $1 billion of acquisitions. The biggest one last year was Demandware, which is e-commerce. So
yeah,
they're focusing in on, I think, expanding from their B2C, excuse me, from their B2B roots to B2C and digital commerce, and actually even providing B2Bs with the opportunity to transact digitally. So I think you're seeing a real expansion of what CRM is. And it's not just those two. I mean, you got to look at what Oracle has done over the course of the years with their acquisitions. And they bought ATG years ago, which is a big e-commerce player. And SAP bought Hybris a couple of years back. And so and they're all still acquiring. I mean, it's going to be hard for Salesforce to replicate what they've done over the last couple of years, but that doesn't mean the other ones won't pick up the slack and buy more. I think SAP just bought a company called Abacus. I think it was just last week or early 2017. And so they're all still buying. I know Oracle bought a couple of companies, or at least one right at the end of the year. So I think you're seeing the platforms being expanded, either organically or when they see it, an acquisition. And until, and I don't know how long it's going to be before it slows down, because there's so many pieces to the puzzle of understanding the customer and the customer journey and the customer life cycle that you almost feel like there's always something that can be added or tweaked under the platform. And with that being the case, I think we're going to be watching this for a while, because I don't think we're anywhere near the end of this this kind of acquisition period.
Yes, and that's another trend that we've been highlighting quite a bit over the past few months, just the fast and furious nature of M&A for companies like Salesforce, Microsoft, Oracle. Everyone really getting in on building out their own capabilities through acquisition. And so now we've covered, you know, there's so many different trends. We haven't really talked about all of them. But I guess I'm going to throw it to you, Brent, and ask, what else do you think kind of could define the next 12 months in CRM that we haven't touched on?
Wow. There are so many things that are taking place, but I really do believe, and it's funny because It goes back to a couple of things that I heard at some recent conferences. Chatbots, which is another conversational interface, if you ask me. Dharmesh Shah from HubSpot mentioned that he thought chatbots were could be the biggest technology in decades. And if that's the case, and they said something at the conference to the effect of well, the way that websites are used today, you're going to see chatbots become as important to businesses as their websites are. And not to say that they are going to take the place of the website, but kind of be a complementary need to have piece. And I think the reason why I kind of picked that up as being really important is he said, you have these you have website builders and designers because a lot of companies know that they need a website, but they are not going to be the ones who build it. You're going to see bot designers crop up for businesses to help design bots that will work in such a way that will allow their websites and their mobile apps to be as conversational as possible and be able to scale up the ability to answer any question at the right time in terms of getting that optimized conversion up. And so I think that is going to be something that a lot of companies are going to have to figure out first how to comprehend that, because that's kind of a big change. But then how to do it, because I do think they have something there's something to that point around you need to be able to you need to have coverage and you need to have intelligent coverage. You need to not just have somebody be able to answer the question, but somebody who knows what they're talking about answering the question. And if you want to grow your business, you're going to need to scale that up. So that's where you have your databases, you have your machine learning, you have all the things in the background that will enable somebody that comes to a website to get a quick answer from something, the not necessarily a person, but a bot of sorts, but it's an intelligent bot, a bot who's using information that was generated maybe from interactions with support, but maybe also from IoT data streaming in. And being able to take all of that and then put it back out into an easily understandable fact that somebody that's trying to figure out if they're going to buy something or not can use and then make that decision. That's a lot to do. And I think there's a lot to be said about how bots are going to be positioned and used, and how are they going to allow companies to scale up their ability to create the right kind of experiences at the right time.
Right. And you've been talking about bots and the opportunities for a different kind of customer experience and a different customer relationship. And what we also haven't touched on there might be worth noting is the importance of automation really to CRM over the next 12 months. We talked about it a little bit in the context of AI. Bringing certain kinds of intelligence in a machine-generated way, but automation as a whole seems poised to really not just change, how we do certain tasks, but who's doing what within a company.
Yeah, and it's funny. Sometimes automation gets overlooked. Because you think about CRM, its pillars are Salesforce automation, marketing automation, and customer service. And really, you can add automation on the back of that as well. So it's automation, automation, automation. And there are pieces to the customer acquisition puzzle. That you have to do. And some of those things are pretty time consuming. And in a lot of cases, you're doing the same thing. It's repetitive. And so if you're able to really understand those repetitive, mandatory things, you can move them from being manually done to being automated. And that'll really frees up your time to build relationships, to do the things that will allow you to deepen a relationship. And so, yeah, automation is huge, and it's always been huge, but I think it gets even bigger when you start thinking about the expansion of the CRM foundation and the platform. And you know, you can't go through reams of data. A human being can't go through reams of data and get an answer quick enough to make a difference. And so you really do need to have, you know, the machine learning in place. You need to have the ability to get the data. Then you have to have the ability to aggregate the data, and then you have to have the ability to analyze the data, and you have to do that over and over and over again. And if you don't have automation in place for those things, then you'll never be able to grow, you'll never be able to scale, and you won't be as successful as you possibly could be. So automation is key. And then from a sales perspective, there's a term starting to be out there. I started using it a while back called relationship intelligence automation. You know, it's not just about having the intelligence. It's about getting it in such a way that it makes it easy for the salesperson to do something with it at that, at the right time, at the time of need. So you're seeing focuses on how do you get that information into the CRM system? How do you make it accessible to the salesperson? And how do you make it usable? And if you don't have any of those in place, then you know you have a chance of losing an opportunity that you may have had a better chance of winning if you had those things in place. So automation, you can't really overstate the importance of it. But I do think it's taken for granted, and I think it's still maybe taken for granted by the masses. But until you start seeing some good use cases come out about how companies are able to take all these reams of information and turn it into a great interaction opportunity and do it in such a way that they're not adding a lot of people, when you start hearing those stories come out, that's when you're going to see more emphasis put on the importance of getting automation up and running.
So Brent, all very well said, and I think that in particular is a trend in concert with some of the other ones that you've discussed that we should be watching. And generally, I close when we do these kind of bigger picture trends discussions, I close by saying it's something we'll be watching, and we will be watching. We might be watching from different corners in the not so distant future. This will be one of my final recordings as executive editor at TechTarget. And Brent, I just want to express a personal thank you to you. You've taught me so much about this industry and these markets, and I've just so greatly enjoyed having this time with you to hash it out for the listeners. So thank you so much.
Well, now, Lauren, thank you for inviting me to be a part of this podcast. I guess we've been doing this for about a year or two, and it's been unbelievably fun and interesting. And you have also taught me it's not a one-way street. And I really appreciate when we had an opportunity to actually work face-to-face at some of the Dreamforce conferences. And so I am going to miss doing these with you, but I will definitely be keeping up with what you do.
We will be keeping up with each other, and I hope our paths are going to cross again. But this is just a dynamic market, and you bring a lot of energy and dynamism to kind of talking about it and educating our listeners about it. So just a real heartfelt thank you to you. You've been a terrific contributor to the site, really. They broke the mold with you, Brent Leary. So thank you so much, and our paths will cross again. I really hope so. I guess I will say until next time. And this is Lauren Horwitz for Search CRM and Search Salesforce. And thanks again to Brent Leary for joining us.